Hello and welcome to the Manager Mojo podcast. This is Steve, and today we're going to have a great guest, and I want to encourage you to make sure you click on the picture that's included in the post that says download the show notes. It'll say Manager Mojo, get show notes here. Want to make sure you notice that and get these show notes so that you can keep them, because today's guest is going to help you really understand how to succeed financially. So if you're interested in saving money and making money, keeping some of the money that you earn, make sure you download those show notes. In addition, I want to encourage you to go to ManagerMojo.com and click on the Start Here tab and make sure you check out the new Mojo Insider program. I've got some great, great things in store for you there, and I hope you'll take just a few minutes and look at that. And then finally, I want to encourage you, if you're on the Manager Mojo site, to also check the Ask Steve tab. And right there, you can go and record a question that you'd like to ask on the show. If your question does get presented, we'll actually play it. And I look forward to answering your questions and hearing your suggestions. All right. Now, without further ado, let's get to today's podcast. Hello and welcome everyone to the Manager Mojo podcast. Today, I'm pleased to share with you our guest is going to be Mr. Bill Cantrell. Now, Bill is a principal at Cantrell Financial Strategies, and it's a registered investment advisory firm in the state of Arizona. Now, Bill has over 40 years' experience in management, consulting, and advisory positions in the banking, home care, and investment services industries. Now, currently, Bill works with individuals and businesses on long-term goal setting, strategy development, implementation, and monitoring. His particular interest is that he helps clients leverage their resources for retirement using efficient, well-diversified investment vehicles and comprehensive estate protection techniques. Now, prior to creating his advisory practice, Bill spent 15 years developing leadership teams in the banking industry and also owned his own non-medical home care franchise, serving hundreds of clients as they chose to live at home during their senior years. Bill is a proud graduate of Purdue University with a bachelor's degree in economics, has attended postgraduate studies in Washington, D.C. and Toledo, Ohio, and has held numerous positions in the financial industry. In addition to all of these things, Bill is also a CPA and speaks frequently to public and CPA groups. So, Bill, I want to welcome you to the Manager Mojo podcast. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, Steve, I'm thrilled to be with you, and I appreciate the opportunity to share some time with you and your listeners, and hopefully we can have a very productive discussion.
Well, I'm sure we will, and I'm looking forward to it. So first, if you don't mind, tell us a little bit more about what you're doing today.
Sure. I'd be happy to. As you described, and I typically explain to people that I talk with, I use what I call comprehensive financial planning. Oftentimes when someone mentions that they're a financial planner, a financial advisor, they may mean that they focus in one of several areas. It could be investments, it could be insurance, sales. My background and my passion has developed over time is to look at the complete financial picture for someone. So I use a process that allows me to actively learn and listen to the client and learn about their goals and their concerns and what they're already doing financially. And then I begin to educate them about things that I think are important for them to understand, and hopefully we will establish an ongoing working relationship. So I have few clients, but I pretty much know everything about them financially because that's the approach that I take in working with them. And most of my clients have been clients for anywhere from, I would say, minimum of 5 years, and most of them 20 to 25 years.
Awesome, Bill, and I just want to let our listeners know that Bill has been a longtime friend, and he is has worked with my wife, Cindy, for well over 20 years. And so I know that Bill provides great value to his clients. Now, Bill, today in this podcast, I really don't want to spend a lot of time talking about management techniques. I really want our listeners to understand that they went into management because they wanted to make more money, they wanted to help more people, but yet they're so darn busy that they really don't think about their future long term. And so if you, what I want to do is start with what would be your advice to people that are either starting or kind of in the middle of their management career? Maybe they haven't been paying attention. What would be some of the things that you would tell them to start considering right away?
Well, I think you need to assess just where you are. And I usually start by just saying, if we were here a year from now, what would you like to have made progress on, or what are the two or three top concerns that you have about your own personal financial situation, and begin to make that to-do list, just like you do probably in your business and management world, where you've got to have a set of priorities to focus on. Do the same thing in your personal financial life. And to me, I grew up learning as a certified financial planner, and learning that in my terms, there's six key areas of financial planning. And so what I do is try to help people focus on each one of those six key areas. And the starting point is just, what do you have, what do you own, and what do you owe, and how is that wealth, if you will, your assets and liabilities, how is that structured? So, and if you begin to spend a little more time, you know, they say people spend more time planning their two-week vacation every year than they do looking at their financial situation. So I think if you start to think about finances are important to me, and I need to do an assessment of my own situation, and then begin to build my own set of concerns or priorities, find somebody like myself who you can work with to help you organize your thinking, and as well as your acting then. That to me is the starting point. You kind of have to say, where am I today and where would I like to get to? I'm a begin with the end in mind kind of guy. So if I can help a client paint a picture or create a vision for where they want to be long-term, maybe 10 years, and maybe 40 years, and there may be multiple goals in between, but just begin to think about, where do I want to get to? That usually is enough of a dialogue to get us going.
You know, there's so many points of wisdom here, and I want to talk about some of them as we relate them to the world of management. You know, we oftentimes will think about in our career, okay, I'm at this level now. Now I need to, and I'm making this level of income, but if I just can improve my skills and get to this next promotion where I'm going to get a really nice raise and more stock options, more benefits, then, you know, things are going to get better for me and my family. But as you and I both know, oftentimes that's not the case, because when they get the new promotion, they really never had any plan on what they were going to do with that extra money. So what would you advise on a mindset change that people need to really think about? Because I think this is a huge problem in the U.S. and all around the world.
Well, I agree, absolutely. And in all honesty, what we tend to think of from the time, let's say, even by the time we get out of college, or by the time we start in that business world and begin to anticipate moving up the ladder, is what can I do with that extra money? You know, and oftentimes it doesn't include how can I save it? Again, one of the old adages is pay yourself first, which is the thought is when you get a paycheck, put some away first, as opposed to, is it possible for me to make ends meet on that, given everything that I feel like I have to have. So I counsel people that, for the most part, and until you're making substantial money, you ought to be thinking in terms of spending about a half of a paycheck. I mean, that, between taxes, other obligations that you have, that's about all you get, if you will. And you need to live a comfortable life and lifestyle on about half of what you get paid. And I see so many people that when they start, they're thinking, you know, if I'm making X thousands and I was a college student making nothing, that I now have that full, whatever that number is, 30, 40, 50, 60,000 to figure out how to spend, and that's a wonderful opportunity. And the reality is, start thinking much less about how to spend it. And I think you need to save a minimum of 10 to 15% for your own personal use down the road as soon as you get started earning money. I got all kinds of little analogies or stories or hypotheticals that show how much wealth you can create. You know, we have so few people that have more than $100,000 saved for retirement. I mean, I'm talking people in their 50s and beyond.
Right.
And yet, just a little bit of money put aside systematically for 20, 30, 40 years, the power of compounding, which Albert Einstein said is the eighth wonder of the world, allows your wealth to grow if you take that systematic a little bit consistently wins the day.
That's what a great analogy. I thank you for bringing Einstein into this, because another thing that Einstein said is the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again expecting a different result. So
exactly.
If you're spending all of your money and you're not investing, you're not saving, and expecting that you're somehow going to get ahead, that's not going to happen, is it?
No, it really isn't. And quite frankly, the early years, if you will, of somebody's career is the opportunity to be a little bit more diligent or prudent about how the money gets spent. Because as time goes on and we desire the bigger house, or the kids come along, and then we realize we've got other requirements potentially with education funding, et cetera, it gets more and more complicated. If we haven't built that mindset from the beginning that we're going to live within our means and we're also going to save money within our means, regardless of how little we're making or how much we're making, we need to understand that we have to have a focus on putting a good portion of it away. And someone like myself can help that be somewhat painless because it can be done automatically. And then I think a lot of times if you have a sense that if I do this in terms of putting money away, I get this down the road, so that there's some realistic understanding of what the benefit of doing that is, that can be huge.
Yeah, that it can be. And Bill, if you don't mind, I really want to dive into this a little bit today and really get this just concrete into managers' minds. My research has shown that the average worker in the United States makes approximately $35,000 a year. The average manager makes $46,000 a year. It actually amounts to about $10,700 more per year that a frontline manager would make than a non-management employee would make over their career. So if you were looking at a 40-year career, that alone is well over $400,000. But
right.
The U.S. government has done studies that say that it's really even better than that, in that their studies show that people in management over a lifetime average $25,000 more per year over their life than those that are never in management. So in a 40-year career, that's $1 million right there. But yet,
exactly,
people are not saving anything. I mean, how horrible is it that, you know, after in your 50s and 60s, and you don't have more than $100,000 to live on? That just shows that we spent everything. It's part of this easy credit world we live in today, is it not?
Well, I think it is, and there again, I think it's we've been trained for to be thinking in terms of whether it's keeping up with the Joneses or the mindset is what more can I acquire as opposed to, you know, I'm very comfortable living in the lifestyle that I'm in, and so when I get that promotion and I get that sizable bump in pay, that this is an excellent opportunity either to play catch up if I haven't been doing as much as maybe I feel like I should, or it's an opportunity to get ahead of the game. Because one of the other things that I think is important for all of us to acknowledge is there is no guarantee that the lifestyle, the income, that there's going to be a straight line up or a consistent line up as over time, that we're going to always be making more money, we're going to always have a wonderful career. Careers get interrupted, and that can be for business reasons, it can be for personal reasons, it can be for medical reasons, but careers get interrupted, and suddenly the last 10 years that you were planning on really putting money away or really having your wealth grow, that may not occur at the level that you're expecting or may not occur at all. And so, once again, we need to be prudent about how we spend in the early years, because spending in the early years really can affect how much wealth we have in our later years.
So true, and what a... what an awesome discussion that we're having here. So, you mentioned that you would recommend that somebody put aside, you know, 10 or 15% as a minimum. But let's discuss the other big lie that we have in our world in the media today, and that is that they're always talking about the people that made the home run investment and all of a sudden became wealthy. That is really not the norm, and it's almost even more rare than the lottery, is it not?
Oh, yeah, it is. I mean, in all honesty, it is, and it's unfortunate, because in our media world of 24/7 coverage of what goes on, those types of situations sell newspapers or sell TV shows, and so it's pretty common that's the big splash. But the reality is, most of us are not going to be in that situation where we even have that opportunity. And there are stories that abound of even the lottery winners who through their own decision making failed to even retain much of the wealth that they received from winning the lottery, because their judgment gets skewed by the fact that there's this sudden influx of wealth. Of course, we know pro athletes are in the same situation. They're another great example of people that just spend unrealistic amounts of wealth, and then suddenly their careers cut short or whatever, and suddenly that, you know, they're destitute, even though they may have earned millions of dollars in their lifetime in a short period of time.
Wow, yeah, I'm just curious if, and I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but you know, if let's say that somebody was investing, and would it be a good target for somebody if they averaged 3%, 5% a year? What would you kind of think, or do you even have an example of where if you did just a minimal amount and you earned X amount of money over a lifetime, what would that look like? Do you have anything available like that?
Well, I have one that I use, created to help people understand a little bit about that. And I said if you started at age 25 and started putting away $5,000 a year, but you just did it for 10 years.
Okay, so let's make sure we get this right. So $5,000 a year, you start at 25.
Yeah, so that would be the equivalent, for example, of, say, I'm putting money into my 401k, or I'm putting money into an IRA. It doesn't even have to be a retirement-oriented account, just $5,000 a year, and I do it for 10 years.
Okay.
And if I earn 8%, which is not unrealistic, I mean, the markets historically have earned 10% a year if it's 100% stock, the stock market. So if we had a combination of stocks and bonds and other things that weren't so aggressive, so we earned 8% a year, and then we just stopped investing after 10 years.
Okay.
First of all, after 10 years, we'd have about $78,000. But if we just left that $78,000 alone, and let's say it was our retirement account, so we left it alone for another 30 years. So by age 65, we've had that money invested, some of it for 40 years, some of it for, you know, for 39, et cetera. But that $78,000 over that next 30 years would grow to $787,000. So you'd have $750,000 if you put $5,000 a year away for 10 years.
Wow.
Starting at age, and that's why when I see these numbers that talk about how few people have more than $100,000, I know we've just missed so many people that had the opportunity. Because let's face it, boomers are, there's more boomers than in any generation. So these people who are turning 65 now have had the opportunity to do what I just described. And we've lived through some very solid stock markets as well as some not so solid. But if they had done that for 40 years, they'd have $750,000. Imagine you did it a little bit less and you only have $500,000. You're still not in bad shape.
You're still five times ahead of what most of the best have.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. So I just want to say that one more time. I want our audience to really understand how important it is. You're working your butt off right now if you're in management. It is not easy. You're working ridiculously long hours, most of the time 6 days a week. If you are fortunate enough to just work 5 days a week, I promise you, you're still working 10 to 12 hours a day. So what Bill's suggesting, find a way to put away $5,000 a year. That's $5,000 a year, right, Bill?
Yes.
Okay, so $5,000 a year, which is a little over $400 a month, do it for 10 years. Invest the heck out of it, leave it alone, and you're looking at $750,000 by the time you're at 65. That's impressive.
Well, and I'll tell you, and most of the people who are listening probably are 25, but if you wait until 35, so let's say you missed that 25 to 35 age group or period, so you put away the $5,000. But you do it for 20 years. So you put it away from 35 to 55. Now you've put away twice as much money.
Okay.
And then you stop putting it away at age 55. By the time you get to 65, you will have over $500,000. So, again, not a bad place to go, but I invested double the amount.
Right.
But still, just get started where you are. I mean, it's important to not go, hey, I'm 42, I can't handle, you know, I mean, I've already lost my opportunity. No. Maybe by then you're making more money and you can put it away more than $5,000. Maybe
right.
You've already got a little bit of a nest egg. Just keep at it, because even if you did $5,000 for 20 years and then left it alone at that point for another 10 years, you'd have over $500,000. And that's, you know, certainly better than a poke in the eye.
You know, I think people oftentimes get afraid of mathematics, and they don't realize how simple it really is. And really what we're talking about here, if I'm a manager, all I want to do is, even if I can't start with the $400 plus a month to get me to $5,000 a year, if I started at $100 and then just steadily increased it, I'm still going to be in great shape if I have that kind of mindset through my career.
Oh, absolutely. And I think there again. Once you start doing that, it begins to feed on itself, and let's put it this way, it becomes much easier for someone to save more once they're seeing the fruits of their labor in doing that. And again, not to sing the praises of the investment industry too much, but it helps to know what to do with the money when you're putting it away. I've seen some situations that make me want to cry, where people have been doing it on their own, or quite frankly, maybe haven't gotten the greatest investment advice. But it's so common that people will put money away into a retirement plan and not really know how to diversify that investment to where they're not putting all their eggs in one basket. They may think they picked four different mutual funds to invest in their retirement plan, and they're all big company stocks. They're just four different names of mutual funds that essentially are buying the same thing four different times for them. So, there's a lot to be said for a sound investment strategy that includes diversification of investment, and oftentimes that takes either study on the individual's part, but oftentimes they can be well served by just talking to somebody who that's their business. And just like the managers have their expertise, we have ours.
Well, and I think that's a really important distinction, because it's kind of strange to me that we really don't, when we're ill, and we know something's really wrong with us, we don't try to fix it ourselves. We go to a physician that's been trained in it and trying to diagnose what's going on, and we basically hire that physician to help us get well.
Exactly.
And yet, hey, it's tough enough to be great in management. I mean, it requires a tremendous amount of skill, a lot of investment of your time and energy. To think that you're also going to be a great investment guy at the same time that you're being a great leader of people, to me, just seems foolish.
Well, I tend to agree. There are very few individuals that I've met that have the savvy to and the commitment of time to do both. And I know when I was focused in management years ago, I wasn't focused in this, and it became my passion as my career was changing, and I thought, this is the area I want to help people with. I want to learn about it myself, but this is where I saw so many people who were being replaced in their work and consolidation and downsizing, and really did not have any understanding of how much insurance should they have or what should they do with their 401k that now was going to be distributed to them. And it just clicked for me that this is where I wanted to go with my career.
Wow. Bill, in your experience, have you seen people that were in management that really, the fact that they didn't take care of their financial well-being really affected their career in a negative manner?
Well, I think what happens is, and I have in a variety of ways, but certainly, again, when I get back to the situation of the person who is moving along and thinks that they'll always be moving along and moving up, and then something happens to derail that, and then they're in a panic because they still have a lifestyle that requires them to spend probably as much as they're making or close to it, and suddenly they're not in that position. So I've had clients who haven't had an opportunity to build enough wealth, and suddenly their career has changed on them, and so that creates a tremendous amount of stress, which can obviously affect your decision making that you're making, or the decisions for the careers that you choose from that point forward. So it's an example of an area where when things are working great, then it's like the stock market. When the market is going up substantially, like it was in the late 90s, and like it has for the last 5 years, quite frankly, it's pretty easy for people to feel comfortable about their financial situation, and that can translate into a pretty nice quality of life, including their work life. But when the markets change, that tends to create a lot of stress for people, and those of us in the industry know that things work in cycles, so that's not surprising to us. But that can begin to create more stress because suddenly the financial picture has changed more dramatically than they were ready for.
Awesome. Well, Bill, what great examples, and I want to thank you for really helping us understand this in a real nice, clear way today. That's been very helpful.
Well, it's my pleasure.
I want to point out to our listeners that Bill is the author of the book called The Financial Point Man's Success Strategies. And Bill, how would you prefer for people to contact you if they're interested in learning more?
Well, sure. That's an opportunity that I hope people will feel like they can benefit from. I do have a website, which is my name, CantrellFinancialStrategies.com, and there's an opportunity there to connect with me, as well as connect with me through just even email, and direct email Bill@CantrellFinancialStrategies.com. is a great way to start, either with a "I'd like to talk with you" or "here's a question for you." I'm beginning to have a few different opportunities to help people through websites where they just will just send me a question or indicate an interest in talking with me. So I'm happy to follow up and respond through emails or phone calls, and usually a 10 to 15 minute phone call is a great way for us to start. I can even give my phone number. It's 480-734-1256. All of that's on the website as well.
Awesome. Bill, thank you so very much for sharing your 40 years plus of expertise in this very, very critical area to managers. Thank you so very much for your time today.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. It's been my pleasure, Steve, talking with you and your listeners. So have a great day.